560 AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always ABC streaming News, on the Civic I'm Media Marina Roy. App.
A few days ago, it wasn't even a named storm. Now officials say Idalia is gaining strength in the Gulf of Mexico, expected to plow through much of Florida this week, possibly as a Category 3 storm. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
If it's Cat 3 plus, there's going to be a lot of trees that are going to get knocked down. There's going to be a lot of debris that is going to interrupt the power lines. So just understand that that is something that's going to happen.
Trump's former chief of staff going before a judge today, trying to get his election interference case moved to federal court. Trump's legal team and his co-defendants watching. Also today, a hearing in Washington, D.C. over the January 6th federal case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. That one is about when the trial should begin. Special counsel wants it in January 2024. Trump's lawyers have proposed April 2026. The judge says neither date is acceptable. This is ABC News. More than 400 wildfires are burning from Washington state to Florida and from Southern California to New Jersey, including fast-moving fires near the Texas-Louisiana line.
The Tiger Island fire started just last week and already, said Sheriff Mark Herford of Beauregard Parish.
We're pushing between 60 and 80,000 acres.
Out in the forest, firefighters like Sean McCormick are straining their memories.
I've been on a fire department for about 27 years, and I've seen fires, but nothing like this before.
At least one person has died in the Louisiana wildfires. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The kiss that got Spain's Soccer Federation president a 90-day FIFA suspension. Luis Rubiales refusing to resign after kissing a player on the lips following the team's World Cup win. His mother now on a hunger strike. The U.S. Open is now underway in New York City. Coco Gauff playing this evening. Also tonight, a ceremony honoring Billie Jean King, marking 50 years of equal prize money for women, a fight King led. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
A proposed piece of legislation could bring relief for women who need additional breast cancer screening. Senate Bill 121 is gaining bipartisan support in the Wisconsin legislature, with more than 20 co-sponsors already. If passed, the bill would eliminate the cost for women who need additional breast cancer screening. According to a WSAW report, over 70% of breast cancer is found in dense breasts, and a standard mammogram can miss up to 40% of cancers in dense breasts. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is calling on residents to use proper safety equipment and operate ATVs and UTVs responsibly. According to the DNR, 70% of all deadly ATV and UTV accidents involving operators or passengers under 18 years old occurred on private land. The department is also reminding adults to operate these vehicles sober, and last week, the state legislature announced a proposed bill to ban open drinking on ATVs and UTVs. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
The Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board. If you missed any part of our first hour, you can always go listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. Now, one of the things when I started As Goes Wisconsin, which will be 4 years in April, which is wild to think about, I hadn't been in Wisconsin for a long time. And one of the things that is very, and I moved back after like 17 years, but one of the things that is, and I don't know how much, besides maybe Texas, but like Wisconsin loves Wisconsin. People from Wisconsin, like, they love Wisconsin merch. They love Wisconsin content. They love some of the, like, the easy Wisconsin jokes. Like, it just hits. And we know this with Charlie, my friend Alex, some of the stuff I've made. Like, there is, like, Drink Wisconsinably. Like, there is an ecosphere of Wisconsin content creators and people who make clothing that that fits in that. And like, there's a market for it because people love it. And so I'm so excited to talk to our next guest, who I found originally on TikTok. But before he was doing anything on TikTok or a podcast, he had started a clothing company called Wisconsin Clothing Company. So I'm so excited to talk to Corey Kaiser, who is the co-owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company and the host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. Welcome to the show, Corey.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a pleasure. I'm excited.
Yeah, no. So this is, I think the first couple of videos I saw of yours was just like top five small Wisconsin towns. And you've got a lot of those now. So we'll get back to the content because it originally started as a clothing company, right?
Yeah, actually. And a lot of people don't know this, but Wisconsin Clothing Company's actual parent company is WCC Brands Custom Apparel. We have employees that spend every day, they're doing custom apparel for other businesses in the tri-state area. We felt an easy way for us to be able to showcase how our quality on clothes is by creating our own retail brand. And so that's kind of how Wisconsin Clothing Company started. And then, of course, when you want to create a clothing company, when you want to create anything, you really got to try to figure out social media. So that's kind of how we dove into the TikTok, the Instagram, and all that great stuff after that. And it's been fun.
So basically, so WCCC makes, like, can be contracted by other companies to make clothes.
Yep.
And then Wisconsin Clothing Company makes fun Wisconsin. I think I saw a shirt when I was on the website this morning with like Chris Farley on it. And yes. The homepage right now is Fickle Logan 2024 or something like that, right?
Yep. We just think that, and like you said, people are very prideful to live in the state. I've lived here my whole life. I'm from a small town. So to me, being able to showcase small towns, you know, the places outside of Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, that make this state so amazing. And like like you said, people are so prideful of the state. They like wearing it as clothes. So we thought that it'd be a great way for us to start a brand and maybe just get our name out there and getting into the likes of the Drink Wisconsin Bleed, the Discover Wisconsin's, the Charlie's, you know, all those guys as it's definitely very niche. It's definitely, and you've definitely figured that out too.
Well, I have not figured out the merch part though. I dabbled in merch for like the summer of 2021 when the Bucks were winning the championship, and I had come up with some t-shirts that were like quotes from Middleton and Giannis. And I realized how hard e-commerce is and like shipping things and state, like the organizational factor of it. I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
So,
It definitely makes it tougher when you have to handle every aspect. But we've really nailed down being able to do the shipping and fulfilling for places. But e-commerce is tough because there's many avenues to be able to sell. You can now sell on social media. You can now sell on TikTok. And there's, so now you, instead of just checking your website to see what orders, you have to check 6-7 platforms to see if you have an order. So it's definitely complex, but we have fun with it over here. And it's definitely been an interesting ride.
Yeah, for sure. And so what is the, so as far as the merch, I don't know, it's not really merch because you're not, I feel like merch is more associated with like a band or like a comedian.
Sure. Yep.
You're the fun, funny ideas that you guys come up with. Like, what are some of your favorite ones that you guys have, or most popular t-shirts or slogans you guys have come up with?
Honestly, you know, and a lot of people say merch, I say it's just, you know, a lifestyle brand. I mean, that's kind of the best way I explain it. I mean, some of our favorite shirts, bestsellers, come around. We put Jump Around on a shirt. That people love that. We just found some really cool items and put the state emblem left chest and Wisconsin down the sleeve. Stuff super simple, and people have loved that. We've also had, okay, just one more, like a bunch of drinking stuff that people have loved. And of course, stuff based around lake life, summer, campfires, up north, anything like that usually sells pretty well. But we enjoy it all, and we enjoy every design because we create it in-house as a team. So it's it definitely adds an extra factor when something does well, because there's definitely it's rewarding.
Is there anything that's like was just a no-brainer top seller, can't keep it in stock?
We actually have a couple that we've done, and some don't even attain to Wisconsin. We did one with John Daly on it that's sold out like 4 or 5 times on TikTok, which it just has a John Daly party shirt. We also have one. I don't know if you've seen I brought it up here. It says the drunkest counties in the U.S. and it has, everyone has seen this graphic on like social media.
Yeah. It's the blue,
we're like
it's the
literally
blue
the darkest. Yeah. The darkest color. And on the front, it says built different. So yeah, we've done stuff like that. We like to keep things really, really energetic and fun with our designs.
Do you guys ever get, cause I've run into this a little bit. Do you guys ever get not backlash, but like the comments on celebrating drinking? Cause I think that there's such a,
for sure,
there's such a fine line, like I said, with the low hanging fruit of the jokes and the cliches of Wisconsin, like drinking is absolutely part of it. And like where you acknowledge that it's also a problem make shirts out of it.
100%. And a lot of the followers, if you go to any of our videos on our content, you'll see that I comment, whether there's 1,000 comments or 50, I usually comment on majority of them because I like making that interaction with people. So whenever we make content around drinking, I make it very known, you know, we're not celebrating alcoholism. We're not celebrating people who have issues. If you have issues, there's places to go. There's people who can help you with that. On the other side of things, it is Wisconsin. It is kind of a character trait of Wisconsinites, is to be able to go out, have a Bloody Mary, play some pull tabs and be able to be sociable and socialize at a dive bar. So we definitely celebrate that aspect of it, but we definitely do not celebrate, people who suffer from alcoholism or have issues, attaining to that. There's people that can drink. There's people who can't drink. But you're right. It's low hanging fruit, but it's just something that people enjoy in the state.
People buy it, right? Like that's the other side of it. Like people in like, whether it's a content, whether it's a t-shirt, like people think it's funny 100%. Still. And it's
You look at Drink Wisconsinably, that's their whole brand. Yeah. You know, we like to celebrate everything in Wisconsin. You're right though. We're not big into, we know there's issues out there. We're just making the jokes to celebrate, you know, to be a part of the Wisconsin brand. You know, I own a small dive bar here in Keeler. So I'm a part of the Tavern League. I go have Bloody Marys. I love talking to people. So those aspects of drinking, I thoroughly enjoy.
Has the rating Wisconsin dive bars guy come in and rated your bar?
Jared,
yet?
No, he actually hasn't. We've talked about it 1,000 times, but we're in the most southwest part of the state. He's definitely not. I'm pretty sure he's up like Stevens Point or Eau Claire. Yeah, I don't remember which one. Yeah, he's very north. We've talked about him coming down this way. It's going to happen eventually, but it's like when he is down here, we'll do it. I'm like, don't make a trip to come to our bar. We don't have food. Our food is a Tombstone pizza and Lay's chips. That's all we got. So
that sounds great. That sounds amazing. Yeah. I'm there.
You got like air fryers to make the pizzas in?
Oh, yeah. We have just the regular pizza oven that everyone has at their house in their basement. So we're like the most dive bar of dive bars. We sell beer at $2.50, $3 still. We don't change it. You know, it's been here for 75 years and we really don't change anything. So we love it because of that.
You know, that's awesome. I was doing a show in Green Bay once with two friends from Chicago, and one ordered a whiskey and the other one ordered a beer, and she goes, "That'll be $4.75," and their heads exploded.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. And we're right on the Illinois Iowa border. So we get Dubuque, Iowa, and Galena, Illinois. People that come over to our bar all the time and they're like, "What?" And we're like, "Yeah, we actually sell beer at $2 during happy hour." They're like, $2? We've never had a beer for $2. I'm like, oh, you have now. So
I remember the first, this was years ago. This was like 2006, 2007. And the guy I was dating at the time, we were living in New York for the summer for like internships. And we had to come home for a wedding. And we like got a drink at the bar. And he was, it's like drinking in a third world country. Like what is happening?
Yeah. And we posted a video about what's his name? The jelly roll. He did like, oh my God, I was in Milwaukee and I was at a bar and it's just crazy. It was like a random day. And there's like 8 people in Wisconsin that are just getting drunk, having fun, playing dice. Like I'm like, there's people at every bar that do that. Like that's like the, you know, what it is about Wisconsin that we're just like kind of different.
That we are
we're built different.
Weird. We're built weird. Different. Yeah, we're weird, but like I love it. Absolutely love it.
We interviewed an author a couple weeks ago who had moved from Virginia, and when she got here, she's like, "Oh, this is way better as far as like putting my stories in Wisconsin," because she was just like, "Wisconsin's just a character, and like the setting it creates and the people here are unlike anywhere else I've ever been." And so,
awesome.
We took that as a badge of honor. All right. Well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the podcast. I want to talk more about content creation and kind of what that leap was like from being a business guy to having to like put yourself on camera, because that's got to be a little different. And so our guest is Corey Kaiser, who is the co-owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company and co-host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. If you have any questions for him, feel free to call in, text in 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. More of As Goes Wisconsin after this. Fellas, bet we're in the mood. Don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Strike a pose. There's nothing to it. Folk. 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 You've got to let your body go to the music. Ooh, you've got to just let your body go with the flow. Ooh, you've got to bow.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 81. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight, lows around 55, partly cloudy. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 75. High of 75 Wednesday under mainly sunny skies. 79 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board, and we are talking to Corey Kaiser, who is the co-owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company and the co-host of the Shot of Wisco podcast. And so before we were talking all about the clothing brand, the lifestyle brand, but then you started popping up on my TikTok, and I was like, oh, another Wisconsin creator. And, you know, there's a handful of us who make, like, distinctly Wisconsin content. Mine is obviously much more news oriented, but you are not, you don't consider yourself a content creator, do you?
Honestly, like I said, I'm a small town kid. Like, I don't think of myself in that way. I see myself as more of a business owner. In that kind of sense, but I create content.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I for sure am a content creator in a way. I started creating content last April, a couple months ago on TikTok. I created a video just seeing, you know, what kind of people, what kind of Wisconsinites are on TikTok. Let me know where you're from. And it for some reason it did well. And I started to realize that, like, TikTok's a great way to get to show your content. And since then I've been kind of, you know, I feel like once you start making content, you don't really know where you're going with it. Especially when you first start and you kind of find your way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we started with, but it's definitely been a fun ride, since then.
What was the first video?
I've posted like four or five videos of like stuff that I did like in the past. They weren't like meant for TikTok. They were just like, I was like posting them to see what, like seeing what the app is. But then in April I posted a video. It was just me saying, I'm pretty sure I had bang on the drums sound on the background. I had a Packer shirt on or something like that. And I said, I'm very curious. I'm doing an experiment. I want to know how many Wisconsinites are on this app. If you are, let me know area code, where you're from in the comments. And it got like 100,000 views. And I'm like, I didn't know that I could reach that many people. So since then I started just posting stuff that was really relatable to people in Wisconsin throughout the year. So whether or not it was talking about the Packers winning or losing, the weather, news, or, you know, anything that attains to someone from Wisconsin, I was trying to hit on, and it's just kind of grown from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you started a podcast. So what, like that, like if you weren't doing enough stuff as far as running a company, trying to make videos, and then also doing a weekly podcast. So what is, what's the premise for the show?
So I did a podcast a long time ago with a couple of buddies. It went nowhere. It failed miserably. But I had I had all the audio, the equipment stuff set up, and I kind of started thinking, hey, if I have people that like enjoying seeing my ugly mug on their phone on TikTok and seeing me talk about Wisconsin, why not create a podcast? So I have a buddy here that he's been my best friend since grade school. Whenever we talk, you know, we've had multiple people say, you guys are just complete idiots when you talk to each other, and that people enjoy hearing that. So we kind of started one. We just want to talk about the news and do kind of show people like a different way to hear the news than seeing it on TV, where we kind of put our, like I said, dumb little spin on it, where it's just us arguing with each other over very minute things. And like I said, since then we do other things like top five, you know, video, you know, things in Wisconsin, things to do in the summer, top five Badger players of all time. So just a bunch of stuff around the state. And we just have fun with it. That's all like that really matters to us.
And how is it, once a week?
Yeah, we do it every Tuesday once a week. Yes. But we try to hit for every Tuesday.
All right. So this last one was just came out 3 days ago.
Yeah,
our friendship might be over. What was the fight over that?
Oh, okay. So we do. So basically, all like throughout the whole show. So we both have three news articles we bring up, and Kyle, of course, like I said, he's been my best friend forever. Every segment that we do, he puts his like really really dumb humor spin on it. Like so, if we're talking about something super serious. He like dumbs it down by saying a couple, like he'll end like this end the segment by saying something like stupid that like take away the seriousness of the conversation and kind of like ruin the segment. And he did it like the whole episode. So at the end, we were just going back. I'm like, hey, what, like basically just be like, hey, why are you so stupid? That's kind of what it was.
Okay. All right.
And like I said, we just argue and have fun. We've been best friends forever.
Where does he live? And can he be my best friend?
Yeah. Hey, I'm good with being friends with everybody. So, like I said, we just like to have fun and we just enjoy that people enjoy that. So.
Absolutely. Well, I want to squeeze this in. We only have 2 minutes left before we got to let you go. But, as I was preparing for the interview, you and your wife back in January committed $1 million to UW Platteville Foundation.
Yeah. I don't shy away from like when people ask me about my family, stuff like that, my family, my parents have been pretty successful in their life. So we have a foundation that we have set up that we donate, over a certain amount to charities in the Southwest area of Wisconsin. And I of course graduated in 2018 from UW Platteville. We do a lot of work with them for custom apparel. So it just kind of felt right. So we put $1 million towards, actually 3/4 of it towards, they're building hospitality suites for the basketball court. So that's something that they're doing now. And then the rest of the donation will be towards scholarships for people wanting to go to the University of Wisconsin Platteville.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, amazing. Especially considering the news from last week that we haven't covered enough yet on this show of the cuts that are happening to the UW system. Madison, Platteville, you know, I mean, how many of the campuses are running at a deficit right now? So to hear that you guys are still like, you guys are supporting them and finding ways to help fund them and fund scholarship, like that's awesome.
Yeah. I absolutely love Wisconsin. I want to do as much as I can for people in the state. So that's my goal for the rest of my career is to make Wisconsin better.
Same here, man. Ditto. Corey, this was so fun to have you on the show. Hopefully we can find some more ways to collaborate.
Let's do it.
Corey Kaiser, owner of Wisconsin Clothing Company. Check out their website and get some new t-shirts and check out the Shot of Wisco podcast. Anywhere you find podcasts?
Shot of Wisco. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Perfect. All right, Corey. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Marina Roy. A few days ago, it wasn't even a named storm. Now officials say Idalia is gaining strength in the Gulf of Mexico, expected to plow through much of Florida this week, possibly as a Category 3 storm. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
If it's Cat 3 plus, there's going to be a lot of trees that are going to get knocked down. There's going to be a lot of debris that is going to interrupt the power lines. So just understand that that is something that's going to happen.
Trump's former chief of staff going before a judge today, trying to get his election interference case moved to federal court. Trump's legal team and his co-defendants watching. Also today, a hearing in Washington, D.C. over the January 6th federal case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. That one is about when the trial should begin. Special counsel wants it in January 2024. Trump's lawyers have proposed April 2026. The judge says neither date is acceptable. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A report from Apartment List found that Wisconsin is fifth in the nation for rising rent prices. A study found the 2023 median rent price in Wisconsin, $1,078 per month, is up 3.2% from 2022. The report cites growing demand as a factor in rent increases, with the population of Wisconsin growing by 1.53 million people from 1970 to 2022. The report also found the average household size in Wisconsin dropped from 3.2 to 2.3 in the same span. A report released by the United States Department of Agriculture Statistics Service shows that cropland cash rent in Wisconsin is on the rise. According to the report, non-irrigated cropland cash rent averaged $151 per acre this year, a $6 increase from last year, and pasture rented for cash averaged $37.50 per acre, a $1.50 increase from 2022. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And what, if you're thinking about it, what's been the biggest about face public opinion has had over a public health topic? Like when you're thinking about, I guess, like we think about seatbelts, we think about cigarettes, we think about, we're still very much in it with COVID, so I don't think that's part of it. But Like when we think back to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where just like what conventional wisdom told us and we believed. And now we look back, you're like, wait, what? And I guess there's a lot of that with pregnancy, of just the fact of still people were like, oh yeah, my mom drank with me. My mom smoked with me.
Yeah.
But what do you have a, I'm getting to a point, but Greg, do you, can you think of one?
I mean, trying to think, it's kind of a weird one, and it's kind of the joke. Comedians have done this fun stage here and there, but like the health benefits versus the maladies of eggs. Like one year it's like eggs are good for you. Next year eggs are bad for you. The next year, well, just the whites. Now the yolks are good for you. Well, the yolks could cure cancer. Who knows? Like it's every year eggs are evolving to be a health phenomenon.
I feel like coffee's that same way.
Yeah, say coffee, like chocolate,
sometimes
eggs.
Coffee's great for you, and sometimes coffee's awful. And I think even this morning as I was going through headlines, I saw something with coffee where like charred coffee grains are stronger than sand. So they're replacing portions of like things used for sand for making stuff like manufacturing. Like they're replacing it now with charred coffee grinds. I was like, oh, and we're drinking that. Great.
We got to find something that 218 million gallons of wine can replace now, and France can just ship it over. We have the.
We just have to find another article that says drinking is healthy,
because at least
one glass a day is good for you, which I think has been unfortunately debunked. I don't think that's actually true. Unfortunately, you can get those antioxidants from elsewhere, and especially because when one glass turns into one bottle, I think the health benefits are negated.
Oh, and that red wine hangover ain't good.
No, not at all. All right. Well, and I asked this. So this is actually something, I guess, it made the rounds on social media earlier this year, and I totally missed it. So like back in February, this old vintage like news clips from the 80s, I think. Yeah, from the 80s. It was footage of Americans like super angry about the increasing like laws about drunk driving. So let's just play the clip and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Any attempt to restrict drinking and driving here is viewed by some as downright undemocratic.
It's kind of getting common, this one. A fella can't put in a hard day's work, put in 11, 12 hours a day, and then get in your truck and at least drink one or two beers.
They're making it laws where you can't drink when you want to. You have to wear a seatbelt when you're driving. And pretty soon we're going to be communist country.
It doesn't help that the cast of King of the Hill were interviewed.
I know, but, and I'm trying to think, I obviously, when this, so it's footage, like I said, it's footage from Americans in the 80s, and like drinking and driving first became outlawed in 1910 in New York, and then closely followed by California, but like restrictions continued to shift and evolve over the years, with an update in the 1980s when the legal alcohol limit went from 0.15 to 0.1, and apparently, at least according to this video, there was a lot of people who were very upset about it. And so that clip specifically was shared a bunch of times. I just came across it at the end of last week. I was like, this is just interesting to me because of the idea from, like, now I think there's still obviously people who drink and drive. There's people who are like, I'm not that drunk. It's not that far. Like they make validations, but they know, I feel like conventional wisdom now is drinking and driving is bad. We should not drink and drive. And like, no one's trying to justify it. Like, oh, the government is like treading on me, trying to tell me I can't drink and drive. Right. Like it's shifted. And I'm trying to ask like, what else has shifted like that and find other examples.
One of the biggest is probably like, you know, when I want to sleep, you know, my doctor used to be able to prescribe me heroin. And now I can't. What is this country becoming?
We got a caller?
We got a caller on the line. If you want to talk to us, too, you can go 844-967-2789. But for right now, let's talk to Tom from Cedarburg. Tom, what's going on?
Well, I have a couple examples of people change their mind on. I remember them saying how much better margarine was than butter, and now it turns out their margarine is not very good because it's hydrogenated.
Yeah.
That's a bad process. also diet sodas. None of them now are they found are actually any good for you. And you're a lot of them actually they make you hungry later on, so you actually take as much calories in, maybe not at the moment, but plus the chemicals that are in them are just awful for you.
Well, that and actually, have they come out and said like what's actually worse for you, like the chemicals and the aspartame in a diet soda versus just having the like 100 grams of sugar in a regular soda?
Oh, the diet is worse.
The diet it's is worse. They've and, said that.
Yeah.
Nutritionists.
And also with the sugar, a lot of the, most of the cheap sodas have high fructose, which again is not good for you. Not as bad as the diets, but still not good because your body has a hard time processing high fructose corn syrup. But not many sodas, unless you're talking Spruckers or some other ones, have natural sugar in them. And that's, if you're going to drink, that's the way to go.
Well, it's so funny because I feel like that, like the diet fad foods of at one point it was like no fat anything, but then they put a bunch of sugar or like aspartame in it instead. And then it became Atkins and like keto where it's like no sugar anything. And you're like, this ball feels kind of fat.
And how did the creator of Atkins die? Oh yeah, from his diet. Boom.
Thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Sure.
We now have a Hawk calling from Madison. Hawk, what you got for us today?
I can remember back, it must have been in the early 2000s when they wanted to get rid of smoking in bars, specifically in bars.
Yeah.
And people were losing their minds saying that all these bars are going to close.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I went and testified at the Capitol. And my saying was, if the best thing about your bar is that you can smoke in it, then you should really think about your bar.
Go ahead, Hawk.
Oh, no, and sure enough, you know, like, they literally thought that, like, everybody was going to lose their businesses and, you know, nobody lost their business because you couldn't smoke in a bar, by the way.
And frankly, there was something really nice, even as a smoker, like, not coming home from a bar and smelling like smoke, like your clothes, like I have to throw my clothes in the shower right now because they smell like a pack of Marbreds. I liked that. I liked the non-smoking in bars. I was all for it as a smoker.
It was, you know, it's funny you say that because a lot of smokers, for instance, like people who smoke, felt the same way you did. And actually, it's funny because I own some bars, but having to go outside to smoke now has created a whole different kind of like social scene because all the smokers are kind of standing near each other. And then all of a sudden they're talking to each other rather than in the bar, they might not have talked to each other. And now they have to go outside and like socialize with each other because they're all huddled around some heater or whatever it is. And like, so it's created a new, but yeah, it is kind of funny as smokers, we're all for getting rid of, like no, it's a nice thing to not have to smell like smoke. So
well, because if you ever travel, like when I've traveled to Europe, most places in Europe you can still smoke inside, and like it is, even if they have good ventilation, like that feeling now of I have to wash everything, I have to wash my hair, I have to wash my clothes, like everything. But even if you go to a cigar, because there's a cigar club, Shakers in Milwaukee, and I'm sure most cigar clubs are like this, where it's the same thing, like wear something in there that you don't like, you don't have to get dry cleaned because it's going to cost you. But thanks so much for the call, Hawk.
I went to Berlin years ago and I walked into a bar. This is after Wisconsin had passed their smoking ban. I walked in, I'm like, what's different? And my friend goes, we can smoke in bars. And I was like, yeah. And then what they told me was that they had passed a smoking ban in Berlin and like 3,500 people just walked into the middle of the town and just started smoking outside. And the council was like, okay, I guess not. Never mind. Sorry, we were wrong.
So there the protest works.
Exactly.
But here, it's like, no, this is happening. If you're just joining us, we're talking about what's the biggest about face the public has gone through when it comes to a public health topic. And we're talking about this because I found footage or a video that was getting circulated of people very upset about being able to drink and drive at the same time back from the 80s. And I think about that now and we'd all be like, yeah, of course. Like, even if you do it, you don't talk about it. Like, there's not this expectation that the government's overstepping by saying like, hey, you can't do that. And so we're asking you for other examples of What else have we changed our minds about over the years? 844-967-2789.
Mark from the SAC, what you got to say today?
Well, the good one is on the smoking thing. I haven't been able to drink for a while because of some health things raised recently. But, I mean, that going into bars and not smelling like an ashtray when you come out of it is just something pretty nice now. Or coming out of a restaurant not smelling like an ashtray is pretty nice. But the fact that adultery amongst our political figures is much more acceptable now than it was in the past. That, you know, for example, you know, Wisconsin's, representative leader, Robin Voss, he's on his fourth marriage now. He claimed it was number three because one was just an annulment rather than a divorce. But I mean that it is just, and Donald Trump. I mean that I'm not making.
Is that a public health concern, Mark?
Mark from the SAC, are you just wanting to talk about Robin Voss, the popcorn king?
Well, yeah, but it is the health thing that and the whole thing with butter and margarine and all that. I said, great, butter tastes much better than margarine. But I can remember growing up, my mother, putting margarine in front of me, and we all thought it was better for you. And of course, now it's butter is actually in limited quantity is actually better for you than margarine.
Because looking back in the 50s, sure. Doctors smoked in commercials and were like, Chesterfield cigarettes, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend. So do the Flintstones. Chesterfield. What?
Didn't doctors like smoke during surgery? Isn't there a story?
Oh, I'm
like
sure
that?
They like, did. Like, I'm sure they like. Yeah, I'm like, sure they did all open. That stuff back then. Yeah, I mean,
well, all the nurses used to smoke.
Nurses still smoke. I've had that conversation with nurses as far as like, because like they can't like when they're on call and they're on shift, like that's their one vice to like have like a release while they're still working. Versus like they can't go out and drink. They can't like pop a gummy.
Well, I had an aunt that actually she worked in the VA hospital up in the cities, that she actually died of lung cancer because when she went to medical school and nursing school back in the 60s, all the nurses smoked, and even though taking care of the guys at the VA hospital, they're dying of cancer. She eventually quit smoking, but by that time probably the cigarette smoking that she had done. Impacted her lungs and took her out. But I mean, it is just it's if you're not a smoker, even outside when you smell cigarette smoke, you might be actually notice smoke. I mean, I know I do.
Yeah absolutely. Thanks for the call, Mark. I like the idea of adultery being a public health concern that people are less worried about now. But we're talking about different how public opinion has changed over different public health things, seatbelts, drinking and driving, cigarettes. Also question, what do you think the next thing is? Like what we look back on 40 years from now and be like, God, I can't believe they thought that was okay. Or God, I can't believe they thought that was a big deal. We'll have one more segment. We'll take your calls and your texts, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. More Ask Goes Wisconsin right after the break.
Let's face it, talking about life insurance is never easy. But after we watched a close friend lose her husband with no insurance, we decided that wasn't going to happen to our family.
Yeah, but shopping for life insurance can be almost as difficult as talking about it.
But then we heard about Ethos Life Insurance. They're a new kind of life insurance, built for people on a busy schedule who don't have time for unnecessary doctor's visits, fine print, or hidden fees. You know, who want to keep it simple.
I couldn't believe how easy it was. We answered a few basic questions, and within minutes, we had an estimate of what it would cost and what sort of policy made sense for us.
I never imagined life insurance could be so affordable.
And accessible.
The peace of mind knowing that our future is secure, it just removes a lot of the fear around getting older and...
Yeah, the unexpected.
I'm glad we talked about it.
I'm glad we went with ethoslife.com.
Go to getethos.com now for your free estimate. That's getethos.com. Getethos.com.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 81. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 55. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 75. Mainly clear Wednesday with a high of 75. 79 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15 Town Call. 1 p.m. The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4 Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking about medical or public health fads or policy that public opinion has changed its mind on over, but at the time was very upset about, because we found footage of, or footage was circulating of people very upset when the drinking and driving range, or like the limit, was lowered. And one woman even saying, well, this is going to become a communist country. And I'm pretty sure since that has not created a communist country. But it's interesting because you can hear some of those same like slippery slope arguments, with COVID and vaccines, and we still hear some of it today. But I'm just curious, of besides drinking and driving, I guess seatbelts are kind of one of them, smoking certainly, but trying to think of other examples of where we've changed our minds.
The biggest one is probably going to be marijuana.
Well, for the future, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of already there.
We're already there, but I mean, it's really taken a lot to do it. I mean, there's still no federal law in the books that are even being tried to plan. I mean, back in the 30s, marijuana led you to want to dance in public and listen to the jazz music.
See, I think the bigger jump will be hallucinogenics. I think that, absolutely. Because I think for a long time, like, we're now getting the point, like, where weed was like illegal, but everyone was doing it, versus I think the jump in mushrooms, like ketamine, LSD, and especially because they're being used for like medical, like mental health things, that the huge jump we'll see like 20 or 30 years from now, as far as like, oh, can you believe we used to take all those antidepressants and now we just are rolling on shrooms?
In 20 or 30 years, though, Kristen, that's all going to be legal except for in Wisconsin. We'll still be like, we can still drink ourselves to happy. We do have a call on the line. If you do want to call in, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Join the conversation. But for right now, we have Price from Texas. Price, what you doing down there in Texas?
Sweating.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that's about right.
Sweating. This is not fun. But I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want to kind of piggyback on the smoking thing. I'm an old person, oldish. Jane will tell you the same thing when she comes back. You can ask her. When I was in high school, there was a smoking section in the parking lot for the kids who were 18.
Oh, wow.
Yes, indeed.
Kristen, I'll take that.
The other thing is...
Oh, go ahead.
What's that?
I was going to say...
Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say 18-year-olds could drink too back in the day, and they would go on sure break could. And get wasted at a bar and come back to high school.
Sure could. But the other thing is that I know this still happens down here, and it has to do with in the service industry, restaurants, et cetera. And even when I was at working in the ski resorts, they would let people go on smoke breaks. But if you didn't smoke, they wouldn't give you a smoke break. So people started smoking.
Yeah.
And I knew a girl who was, she was 18 and she was working in a restaurant and people were getting smoke breaks. And she started smoking to get the smoke break. And then she got hooked.
Wow. Yeah. I remember having some rules like that when I worked in the restaurant industry. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go smoke then. So that's so funny. But thanks so much for the call, Price.
You had to smoke. You couldn't go read a book.
You could just like take a break and take a step outside and like take a break from annoying customers. Like, no, you better be smoking a cigarette if you're going to do that.
Right. That's it. Have a great day. Good talking
to you. Have a great day, Price. Thanks for calling, as always. From the text line, Wes from Middleton. Nurse here. I think we have finally kicked the smoking habit for the most part. Not many smokers left. I can think of one or two, maybe two of my unit of 90 or so RNs. Hospitals don't allow smoking anywhere on campus anymore. We typically wouldn't have time to go out for a smoke break anyways these days. That is a good point as far as... understaffed, definitely understaffed nurse shortages. We felt that certainly when we were at the hospital for Mike's back surgery a week ago, as far as they were, they did say that. They're like, oh, we're just a little short-staffed. It's like, it sounds like you guys are short-staffed all the time, but I digress.
We got another caller, Tom from West Allis. What you say, Tom?
Good morning. I have to agree with... the last caller, yeah, I went to Homestead in Mequon, and yeah, we had a full-size courtyard that was a smoking lounge, and then that moved to like a fenced-in area, and then they finally got rid of it. I also used to go back in the day to the Landmark Lanes on the east side.
Oh, yeah,
the
theater.
And when I was, you know, 18, 19, because drinking age was 18 then, we used to hang out there all the time, bowling, playing pool, talking smart, all that fun stuff. And then years later, and I'm going to talk about 6 years ago now, though, I was on a skee ball league. And it was in the basement. There was in the Landmark Lanes. And it took me about an hour and a half to figure out what was different. And the whole thing was, yeah, there's no smoke in here.
I made
you could see though, because there used to be beer signs and stuff. You could still see the nicotine stains on the walls in that place, which is, but yeah, smoking. I was all for raising the drinking age to 19. Granted, I was 18 when the drinking age was 18. It made sense to me to get it out of the high schools. But 21, I still question a little bit. I think, you know, the kids will binge. And because we have the problem of kids binge drinking now in college because it's illegal. And it's the, you know, I guess they didn't have the binge drinking like they do today. And there was talk about that a few years ago, trying to get the age down to 19 again. But that was sacrilege.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for the call, Tom. That's the Landmark Lanes with the nicotine walls. That's really funny.
When I was talking about being covered in smoke with my clothes, that's what I was talking about. Landmark Lanes.
With the walls. But it was funny because I looked up seven of the most outrageous medical treatments in history. This is from history.com. So there was snake oil. We call snake oil now as far as things that were fake. But at one point, actual oil from snakes was used for like a variety of things. Cocaine, the wonder drug.
Cocaine.
Vibrators that could cure your hysteria.
Yep.
Fenfen, the miracle pill for weight loss. I definitely remember taking that in like high school and it being like, oh, your heart's gonna explode, man. What else? Heroin, the cure for a cough. Lobotomies, hacking away at troubled brains. Shock treatments, the cure for impotence. And so, you know, this is why we say that, you know, science evolves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a very fun show today. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you to Corey Kaiser for being our guest. Thank you to everyone who called in and texted in. Thank you to Greg Bach for running the board. But we'll be back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media.
608-819-8255.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245.